They were men and women who found favor with God, some with abounding faith, others redeemed, but all Bible heroes after God's own heart.
After God gave the human race a strict 120 years to repent from their sins, he found only one man worthy of rescuing from a worldwide flood, Noah. With his family in tow and animals of every sort, Noah took refuge inside the ark, a vessel the length of 1.5 gridiron football fields. After 40 days of rain and another 7 months of living among the animals, the door to the ark opened, and God showed Noah the sign of his covenant, a rainbow. Noah's family multiplied and replenished the earth, making us all descendants of this Bible hero.
Good morning. Yeah, imagine that moment when you've been cooped up with animals for that long. Wow. But we're here today because God is worthy of our praise, and we're going to celebrate him today in a very cool way. My name is Mark Brandt. I'm on staff here within our online and local site ministry, and it's kind of exciting. June 1st, a little over a week ago, was my 25th anniversary being here, which is kind of fun. It's a long time. But there's many of you that I don't know now because of what I do. I'm usually not in this space. I'm typically online greeting our online folks. Hello to our online folks that are out there right now. Or I'm out visiting our folks that are worshiping right now during this service. So I don't often get to be here in your presence. So it's good to be here. And I want to begin with just a basic question that I think will help us frame up this Bible hero story for today. Because I feel and I believe that God still wants to do big things through you. So the question is, when was the last time you did something so outrageous that you were wondering why or if you could even do it? Now, these are the big things, like the things that you're like, man, I don't know that I should even. For me, one of those moments was on a Thursday back in 2002. This is before kids, so BK, because that's important. We don't tend to do dumb things after we have kids. For the most part, I suppose. Some of you might be like, nope, still doing it. Great. But this is before kids, before my wife and I were even married. It was a Thursday, and my friends and I were talking. We thought, hey, let's climb a mountain tomorrow. And we were young enough in our 20s to think, why not? And this was a Thursday, like I said. And so we had ministry that night, our young adult ministry. I was helping to lead worship at the time. So we decided to leave after that. And that was the plan. Leave around 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, which we did. We loaded up my friend Ryan's car. We drove west and pulled into Estes Park right around the 10 o'clock in the morning time. And that was our first mistake. Because what they don't tell you, or they should, before you do these things, when you're going to climb a 14er, which is one of the 14,000-foot peaks in the Colorado and the Rocky area, is you should leave before dawn. We pull into town, and this is the first time that I think in this story, God showed up in a very powerful way, where God looks out for us even when we're idiots. Because we stopped in at an outfitter, and my friend Nate said, oh, you know what I don't have? I don't have a water filter device that goes on Nalgene bottles. I'm going to buy one of those. That came in critical throughout the rest of this story. So rather than leave before dawn, we go and we grab a bite of lunch. We hang around, and we leave at 1:30 to go up this mountain. And oh, by the way, did I tell you we're camping up on top of this mountain as well? Well, the reason you want to leave before dawn is because God put his creation in order in a very specific way. And above the tree line in the mountains, often in the afternoon, storms roll through. So sure enough, we get above the tree line, which is around 13,000-ish feet, somewhere in that neck of the woods, maybe a little bit shorter. And it starts to hail on us, H-A-I-L, terrible stuff. And we had one of my buddies pulled out the tent cover, like the thing that goes over your tent to protect it from weather. That's what we're using. We're huddling under this, behind a boulder, trying to wait it out. And at one point, my buddy Nate gets out from underneath the tarp and shakes his fist at the sky and says, why are you doing this to us, Lord? And I just kind of laughed. I thought that was kind of funny. You went out in the hail to shake your fist at God. But we were closer to him, so we thought he would hear us, so... We ended up getting to the Boulder Field, which if you don't know, Long's Peak, this is the mountain we're on. which is one of the more technical 14ers to do. We should have also known that. We get into the boulder field, which is exactly as advertised. It's a bunch of boulders in a field, all rock. And by this time, we had consumed over 90% of our water. And we weren't summiting until the next day. This is where that filter came in play. We found a source of water. Nate put the hose down into the water and was able to filter water into all of our bottles, which was really, I believe, something that helped us because you need hydration at elevation. But I was so soaked through. I had so ill prepared for this trip that I did not have dry clothing to go to the summit. But we woke up the next day and tried it nonetheless. I got as far as the keyhole, which is about 13.5. So I guess you can say I was, as the cool kids say, peak adjacent. But I didn't make it to the top because it was 40 degrees and I'm in shorts and a t-shirt soaking wet. Big, outrageous, crazy idea that we just said yes to. And we got down the hill. I was exhausted. This did not go well. And we sat down and we had pizza. And the very first thing that we thought was, okay, the next time we do this, because if it wasn't dumb enough, we thought we'd do it again. And we actually did get to the top of Mount Elbert, which is the tallest 14er in Colorado, but a much easier hike. This is what we're talking about, those big things that we say yes to, that are really amazing and take a lot of faith. Somewhere as adults, we lose that sense of adventure, I think, if you will, with God. We start to play it safe in our faith. And I don't think that's always what God wants us to do. Because God himself, whoa, I'm dropping things, did a very crazy, outrageous thing in creation itself. So to understand the story of Noah, we have to go back a little bit, and not very far back. We're talking only 6 chapters in to get to Noah, so we're just a few chapters back at creation, where God, because he loved us so much, created. And he did a crazy thing in that. Out of God's love, he said, I'm not going to demand that love in return. I'm going to give you the choice to love me. I'm here to tell you God is worthy of that. But that's a pretty risky thing for the God of universe to do with the created, to give us the choice to love him. And it worked out okay for a little bit. Things are going well. But we don't have to get too far into scripture to find out that everything turned for the worse. Right away, chapter 6, we learn that the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Sorry, I'm a Cubs and a Broncos fan. Let's get rid of that slide. That's more like it. And on this one, if you know, you know. It's the Long John Silver's fish and chips, which everybody has that about once a year and remembers why you shouldn't eat that every day, right? Things are not going well, and God is looking over his creation. And it is breaking God's heart to see that the people his created, the people he loved, had turned away from him. And so God decided, I think I need to wipe this out. This is not going well. I'm just going to get rid of it. But as God was looking around, there's this guy Noah who found favor with the Lord. Sorry, that's my Noah. Who's now 19, good kid. But this is the Noah we're talking about. It's an artist rendering. He actually struggled with this painting because he's like, you know, it's going to rain. Let's finish this up. So, sorry. I showed a picture of my kid, so I had to do a dad joke, right? I mean, we're there. Noah found favor with the Lord. Now, Noah's not perfect. You don't have to go too far into Noah's story to see where he isn't. But Noah was faithful and blameless. And so God was going to start over with him. But imagine just for a moment, let's put ourselves in Noah's place. It had to be obvious to Noah that things weren't going well too. If he's the only, scripture says, only one being faithful to God. Imagine how helpless that must have felt to Noah. God, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Why is everybody else living the way that they are? Why aren't you going to do something about this, Lord? Now, we don't know from Scripture whether or not that kind of a conversation took place, but we can imagine that it might have. So God decided to start over with Noah and his family because creation needed, rather than a wipeout, needed a reset. When I was a kid, I played Asteroids. That was one of my very first stand-up video games that I got to play. The thing about those games is you put a quarter in, you had a finite amount of lives. So after a while, if you didn't put another quarter in, your game was over. Well, then Atari comes along. And Atari had this amazing button right over here. Game reset. So if things weren't going well in your game, you could start over, which was an awesome, awesome thing. This is what God decided to do through Noah, because Noah was faithful. Here's our first kind of pause moment for you to pull out. It is good to be faithful with God. It is good to be somebody who follows after God, because God can do big things in and through you. So God decided to do the reset with Noah, and here's how God decided to do it. Noah, I want you to build a boat. We're going to need a bigger boat than that. Okay. There it is. Build a boat. Where was Noah living at the time? The desert. There weren't large sources of water nearby. Noah was already probably ostracized because he was the only one being faithful to God. And here, God asked him to build a boat. Not just any boat, a boat that was the size of a football field plus another half of a football field. This thing is massive, and it's not something you can just finish by Tuesday. This thing took years to construct. Imagine the daily ridicule that he might have endured and his family must have taken because of building this boat, all because God asked them to. And I'm sure at times Noah pleaded with his neighbor, saying, "No, you don't understand. This isn't going well for us, and God wants us to be faithful to him. And because of that, I'm going to build this boat because rain is going to come." It had not rained that hard in a very long time. So why would they believe Noah? And even more so, why would they believe that this God who they had mostly stopped following would do something like this? This is how God chose to do it. And Noah gathered all of the animals, two by two. You know the story if you've been around this a little bit, but there are two by two. But what you may not know is he was also asked to bring seven pairs of the animals they used for sacrifice. Because the time they were going to be on the boat, they still would worship God. And the way that they were made right with God during this time was through sacrifice. So they had to have these extra animals because you didn't want to sacrifice the single paired animals. That would not end well. And this will blow your mind too. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, one of the animals probably on this boat was a termite. It's a certain level of trust. And sure enough, after the rains come, the waters rise and the boat floats and they're sailing around as best they can while the earth is reset. Scripture even goes on to say that the water got so high it was 22 feet above the tallest peak on earth. Pretty specific number. I love how the storytellers, the ones that relayed this story over the decades and the centuries, kept that in there. 22 feet above the tallest peak. Pretty specific number. Over time, the water dissipated, it dried up, they landed, and they were then tasked to go out and to repopulate the earth. God accomplished his reset. And God established a covenant with Noah and his family, and God said, "I'm not going to do this again. I've reset this. I'm doing it over. Here we go, a new opportunity for you. And because I'm not going to do this again, I'm going to give you a symbol of that, and that's going to be a rainbow, which often appears after a big rainstorm. And that rainbow is going to be a reminder that the rain will come to an end. I will not flood the earth again." And you would think, okay, the reset has happened. So it's obviously going to go well for all the creatures on earth, right? They're going to have this figured out. Unfortunately, God also, or no, I shouldn't say that. Fortunately for us, God did not change his reason for why when he created us. God still gave his created the choice to love him. Because that still matters when it comes to our understanding of who God is. To have faith in who he is. And the people of God, unfortunately, if you've read the Old Testament, it still did not go well for them. They'd have seasons of good, then they'd have seasons of not so good. Seasons of good, seasons of not so good. There was always a constant need for being made right again with God. But we've got it figured out now, right? I mean, we're centuries after this. We know how to do this thing called faith and living with God, right? No. We are the same way. We are also prone to wander on the daily. We make choices that are not consistent with what God would want. In fact, I tried to find a great illustration for what this might look like. And fortunate for you, I went down the deepest of Instagram reel rabbit holes. And I found this. Take a look. That's us, right? We get out, we're like, woohoo! And then we turn right around and go right back in. Whether it's intentional or not, this is our human condition. But this is the big, crazy thing that God was doing. He is constantly rescuing us from our horrible decisions, from ourselves. Because we found and God knew all along his plan A was for a new superhero. Someone who would come along to rescue us from ourselves. To make us forever and eternally right with God. Jesus came along. One of the animals that Noah was instructed to bring along is the lamb. The lamb is known in Old Testament scripture as being a blameless creature that can be sacrificed. So like I said, the way in the Old Testament during Noah's time to be made right with God was through sacrifice. And so what had to happen for us to set us free once and for all? God had to provide the lamb for us in Jesus to sacrifice for us. This is the second moment of how much God loved you. Not only did he do a reset through Noah to put things right again in creation, worked his way through our Bible hero last week in David to get to his ultimate plan A, which was Jesus, to set us free from our own sin and death, to give us the gateway to eternal life. That is the best thing that could have ever happened to us as the created. And it doesn't happen necessarily without Noah's faithfulness. Because what the world also had at the time was a repentance problem. The people were living in such a way that they did not think being made right with God mattered. So they just lived however they wanted. And the consequences were unfortunately obvious. I think today sometimes we still struggle with this idea of repentance, of saying we're sorry. Sorry is a hard word to say sometimes because it means you're admitting that you have something you need to be exposed and to be made right. So I'm going to take us back into our Lutheran roots a bit. And if you didn't grow up Lutheran, that's okay because I'm going to help you with the words. Because I think confession is a good thing. And I'm not talking about the Catholic kind, which may bring up some memories for some of you. Which actually, it can be really beautiful when you understand the root of it. You don't need me to do this for you. You can go to God at any time and confess to God the things you need to and want to be made right. It just so happens that when I was growing up, we had a moment in our worship service where we did this called confession and absolution. And if you're like me, if you did grow up this way, some of these words will just roll out your mouth like you're not even thinking about it. Today, I want you to think about it. Because when I was growing up, I remember getting to these words and having some real moments with God. Because there is a moment in here where we pause for reflection. Just you and the Lord to talk about those things. For me, it was Pastor Gene who would get up in front and he would say these words: Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then as Pastor Mike shared this last week, the next step in this comes right out of Scripture from 1 John. For if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's pause for a moment. And I want you to spend some time, just very shortly, with God. Talking to him. Just don't, this is not, this has, you don't have to go back a year here. Let's just go back into our week history. Just spend some time with God right now, talking to him about the ways that maybe you didn't get it right. And we're going to read these words together on the screen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows upon them the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love those words. Delight in your will and walk in your ways. This is something we should do on the daily. Have a moment where we get right with God. And here's the thing. This is nothing you have to earn. God's not sitting around every day going, hey, we haven't had our conversation yet. This is us going to God of our own free will to say to God, we need you. We have a need for a Savior. And here's the truth of it. By God's grace and through faith, we are set free. For some of you, that pause for silent reflection, you're like, man, that wasn't long enough. I needed more time. And for others of you, that might have been a bit uncomfortable because this isn't necessarily something you do. But it's so important for us to have moments like that with our Heavenly Dad, where we admit we don't get it right all the time. But we also thank God because of the ways that he loves us, so that in and through us, God can continue to do big things. And make no mistake, God wants to do that. As Perry alluded to in this entire series, we're talking about Bible heroes. But they didn't always get it right. They weren't perfect. And that should give us comfort in knowing that God can still work through each and every single one of us. And that big thing might look different for each and every single one of you. And it may not involve climbing a mountain. But it might involve something as simple as extending a kindness to somebody that you would have otherwise wanted to belittle or shame. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, we said in that confession. That's a crazy, audacious, outrageous thing too, to love our neighbors as ourselves, regardless. There's no condition in that. Well, you don't have to if they, nope. You don't have to like the things. As a Cubs fan, I don't have to like Cardinals fans, but I have to love them, right, Chad? God calls you to this. And not only that, God will equip you to do it. Noah wasn't a boat builder. That wasn't his job. But God equipped him with the gifts and the skills to do it. God will equip you to do these big things because God wants to do these big things in and through you. Like I said, one of the things that I get to do, one of the joys that I get to be a part of is local site ministry, where We have folks right now during this service at 9:30 worshiping throughout the Midwest. I bet there's probably well over 250 people right now gathered in spaces hanging out with us right now. This is a pretty big deal. And I want to introduce you to two of my heroes that are part of that. They're the OGs. This is Scott and Mary Matteson, and along with our friend Stacy, they're a part of Hope Local Forest City. And right now, I know Scott is squirming in his chair because he loves to be the center of attention. Mary, his wife, is a lot better with this, but Scott, not so much. But they give me a microphone, so I get to say whatever I want. This is awesome. Scott and Mary, back in 2015, reached out. They were worshiping online. They were church nomads, if you will, looking for a place to land, and they were worshiping with us because I had worked in Forest City for a short period of my life, so I knew them. And because they knew me, they connected to Hope. And they were worshiping, and they reached out, and they said, Mark, what would it look like if we just got people together and worshiped together? Because we were kind of tired of worshiping on our own. And I had just transitioned at that time from student ministry into this online thing, was trying to figure it out, didn't have a great idea of what we were doing yet. I just knew we were putting a stream out to the world, and people were worshiping with us. No grand design in this, but God had a big thing in mind. And so they gathered their friends together, and I can't remember the number, somewhere around that 24, 25 gathered for that Sunday to worship in the YMCA in Forest City. And they're still there today. Maybe not the same 25, but the group is there. And not long after that, I went and I hung out with them. And here's the cool thing about this ministry. If you ever get a chance, I encourage you to drop in and worship with them. It's beautiful. The day that I was there, an offering song happened. Back when before COVID, we would pass the offering plates. A group or our group would get up and offer a song of music. And it was always great. And sure enough, at the end of that, the folks in Forest City clapped. And I remember the sarcastic part of my brain thinking, they can't hear you. But this is what God was doing in them. They would laugh during the messages. They were fully engaged. And this is 100% volunteer-led online. They don't have a worship team there leading music. They don't have a pastor there giving a message. They are basically, if you've ever worshiped at home before because you haven't felt well or you're out of town, that's what they do every single Sunday. They show up early. They set up chairs. They turn on the stream. They set out treats. And they welcome people in to hear God's story. And not only Scott and Mary, but there's also Brent and Kristen over in Clear Lake who are in a new spot for the second week this week. Hope it's working out well. They actually got some new speakers today, so hopefully they got it set up and they can actually hear this okay. Then we go over to Wyatt over in Iowa City and Craig in Newton. And then we have Emily and Billy over in Panora and Brent and Julie and Lindsay over in Omaha and Kevin and Stephanie down in Kansas City. And then Joe and Megan over in Bondurant. And for a period of time, we actually had a site in Winterset as well. And I'm excited to tell you, God willing, after Labor Day, we're going to launch our next local site up in Cedar Falls, which is really exciting. So and here's the cool thing about that one, because Jewel's right there. I'm not going to point her out. Oh, I just did. I'm sorry about that, Jewel. So, but at this service, she's here. Christy, our other core leader for launching Cedar Falls, was at an 8 o'clock service. Neither one of them knew that they were going to be here today. And they bumped into each other out in the gathering space between services, which is really cool. But Christy and Jewel and a group of folks are up there answering that big, outrageous call. Why not get together and worship? It's pretty cool. And plus our pop-up sites, we have two lakes this summer that are just Memorial Day to Labor Day at Sundown Lake and also over at Sun Valley Lake. And that includes all of our partners too. I mean, our friends over at New Tripoli in Pennsylvania in New Life. I mean, there's a lot of cool things happening that God is doing through you, church. Make no mistake, this is something that God is doing through you. They might be leading this, but it's because we, the church, gather that gives them a chance to worship. So thank you for being a church that allows for people like me to do really cool, crazy, awesome stuff. Ames actually started. Our campus in Ames started as a local site. This is awesome what God gets to do in and through us. So this week, my encouragement to you, Listen to God. Listen for what God might be whispering to you. And like I said, it might not be something big like launching a local site because you're here. But for those of you that are out there online, it might be bringing God and maybe through hope to where you live. Either way, though, God wants to do big things through you. Believe that. Because I'm mostly an idiot all the time. And if God can do big things through somebody like me or somebody like Noah, how much more can God do through you? Just takes asking the question, God, what do you want to do? And then be ready for the answer. Because it might surprise you, but I guarantee it'll be a lot of fun. Let's pray. God, thank you for the ways that you show up and the awesome ways we get to do ministry. God, we are one church among many trying to bring your story, the good news, to those that need it. God, continue to use us, your church, to do big things. Whatever those things might be, God, whisper them to us again so that we might hear and do. What a blessing it is to be a part of that good news business. We lift it up to you in your name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for service online.
If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We don't think it's any accident that you're here, and we have been praying for you.
To see more of our content, know when we go live, and stay up to date week to week, feel free to subscribe to this channel.
And if you live close by one of our campuses or local sites, we invite you to check us out in person. We would love to meet you. And don't forget to follow us on social media to stay up to date.
See you next week.